This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, transcribed from Hollywood.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hair. You certainly know the right thing to wear.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Bing Crosby again. Glad you tuned in, and we have a few little items prepared for you, the first of which is Somebody Loves Me.
Somebody loves me, I wonder who, I wonder who she can be. Somebody loves me, I wish I knew. Who can she be? Worries me. For every girl who passes by, I say, hey, maybe you were meant to be my loving baby.
Every once in a while, I run across an item, generally with a foreign dateline, which wraps Hollywood pictures. Usually, these items rankle me a little. I don't mean to say that they make my blood boil or cause any tossing or turning at night or make me go out and open a vein or anything, but sometimes I must confess that I do get a little hacked. For instance, I noticed a release from Saigon, Indochina recently, which stated that a high Vietnam officials have been quoted as saying that, quote, Hollywood Westerns are having a disastrous effect on juvenile morals, close quote. Well, now, partners, this news comes as a big surprise to old Rancher Crosby. As you know, Indochina has been the recent scene of an eight-year-old war. From what I hear about the place, there's more guns and grenades kicking around underfoot than there are chopsticks or rice bowls. Teach me how one of our little old hearth operators could have a negative influence on kids' morals in an area that's so recently ravaged by total war. Doesn't seem quite fair to me that Hollywood should be perpetually blamed for corrupting the young and the impressionable. Recently, the Motion Picture Association of America published a pamphlet entitled Exploding a Myth, and subtitled Motion Pictures Are Not Responsible for Juvenile Delinquency. In it are the opinions and judgments of noted psychiatrists, educators, jurists, and criminal sociologists, all of whom make a flat denial that Hollywood films, Westerns included, contribute to the growth of juvenile delinquency. In brief, these authorities on youthful vandalism feel that the time influence and the degeneration of youth are the old standbys, home and family, or, of course, the action film. Kids are kids the world over, so I assume that these judgments hold for juvenile delinquency in Vietnam. As in most foreign countries, the young bloods in Vietnam, they favor American Westerns over all other movies there. In certain remote provinces, adult fans get so excited during the chase sequence between the good guys and the bad guys that they tell me they haul out their sidearms and they start popping away at the screen. And trying to help the hero out of a tight spot, the movie scene is sometimes reduced to old lace. Now, for my part, I think most of our westerns are pretty tame stuff compared to the horrors of a real shooting war. I figure that Sister Vietnamese official was trying to divert attention from his own official deficiencies, perhaps, when he drew a bead on the American cowboy movie. And all this hassling about American films abroad has not been confined to negative criticism of western movies, either. Charges and countercharges have been thrown back and forth on unworthy subject matter and harmful propaganda in our flickers. Mr. Eric Johnson, the head of the Motion Picture Association, has this to say on the subject, quote, "Hollywood pictures, they say, give people abroad a distorted picture of America. We're regarded as a nation of loafers, gangsters, and moral degenerates." Johnson says that these charges are baseless. He's got his dander up because they come at a time when the world is locked in a mortal struggle for the allegiance of mankind. He says it's a fight we're all in, and that includes Hollywood. A large part of the world, you know, is force-fed on an uninterrupted diet of propaganda films. And the freedom of American movies from blatant distortion of the truth gives them, gives them unmatched authority and authenticity. Our films are believed abroad because they show all sides of America, so the good and the bad. A good many of our diplomats in the Department of State have come to the fore to defend Hollywood from critical broadsides. Mr. Stanton Griffith, an ambassador to four countries, had this to say, "I have accomplished more with good American pictures than with all the formal activities and paraphernalia of official diplomacy." There's a statement of Loy Henderson, now an assistant secretary of state. Says he, "Feature films are the most valuable medium for giving foreigners a better understanding of the United States and the American people." Now, when you get the boys in the striped pants and the cookie pushers coming up with opinions like this, it shows that the old celluloid city is doing pretty well. I know, of course, that Hollywood has made a few bloopers that they made everyone wince, but just even Willie Mays says that once in a while. Hollywood's batting average isn't perfect, certainly, but it's pretty darn good, I think. For another kudo, here's what the United Nations Chief Dodge Hammarskjöld has to say. "American motion pictures have had much to do with the fact that throughout a large part of the world, when somebody has an inclination to bang his neighbor on the head, he stops and thinks twice before doing it. Evidently, the UN chief missed some of the pie-throwing scenes in the early Keystone comedy." And a West German newspaper editor says, "We West Germans would rather see one American Western than 20 Soviet-style propaganda films. We can smell propaganda under the heaviest of guys." A Dane has another explanation for the popularity of American movies. He says that American film is the only one known that regularly, systematically, and continuously dares to kid both itself and the American people. This easy assurance has simply won the hearts of the European filmgoers. And the Scandinavian of the Blood Royal, Prince Axel of Denmark, he has this to say. "Ugly wives, yes, an old husband. You help them, too, with your pictures of lovely girls and handsome boys. Throughout the world, Hollywood helps people." The prince is really a brave man to make that statement, don't you think? There have been a lot of other comments on the success of American films abroad, notably from the Russians. Not long ago, this blunt directive went out from Moscow to Soviet outposts around the world. "It is imperative to render the American cinema, this weapon of most aggressive imperialism, harmless." The Russians have quite a job cut out for themselves in fighting the effects of American films abroad. American films occupy 74% of the world's screen time in nearly 100,000 theaters. And every week, more than 230 million fans speaking 150 languages and dialects ease themselves down in front of an American flicker. The Russians themselves, although critical of American pictures, are still allowing a few of them to be exhibited in their country. Communist armies seized a number of American films in Germany. They grabbed them as war booty. After editing out anything that would make us look good to the Russian people, the films would run and rerun again and again. So despite all the storm and the fury about Hollywood films, I guess we can regard the American movie industry as being both healthy and effective. The stories dealing with crime and violence sometimes prove offensive to many moviegoers, but long before the camera was invented, Stone Age wall paintings, uniform, and hieroglyphics recorded the crimes and conflicts in their day. Even the Old Testament has got some scary passages. And if they filmed Grimm's fairy tales or some of Mother Goose's stories, they'd have to be shown on a horror bill with Frankenstein. Even Will Shakespeare, the immortal bard, was preoccupied with tragedy, most gory. So like Death and Taxes, tales of conflict and the battle of good against evil will continue to be recorded in story and on film. Looks like they're always going to be with us. To conclude tonight's little gathering, here's the song that I hope you like. Hope you can listen in again tomorrow night, same time, same place. And thank you very much.
This is Ken Carpenter saying goodnight to you all and reminding you that Bing Crosby can be heard Monday through Friday, transcribed from Hollywood.
Many local heart associations, under the guidance of the American Heart Association, maintain work evaluation clinics. Heart patients, which are referred to these clinics, are examined by specialists to give positive answers about what these patients can do and cannot do in everyday work. Besides eliminating needless fears, work evaluation clinics put heart patients back to work as useful, confident citizens. This is just one of the many successful services your annual contribution to your heart association pays for. Send your donation to your local heart association. This is the CBS Radio Network.